Deadly Diseases, a horrible science book read by Vanna Vance, by Nick Arnold, illustrated by Tony DeSalles. It's a grave situation. Introduction. Are you well? If so, great. If not, maybe you need the horrible science treatment. Take one copy of this book and read it in large doses, after food. Reading it before meals can ruin your appetite. You're bound to feel better because laughter is a great healer. And that's just the contents page. And if you're not ill, you ought to read this book anyway to maintain a healthy sense of humor. This book is especially effective against slump disease, that science lessons upset, mystified pupils. Sufferers of this common condition often slump over desks and feel a strong urge to sleep. And sadly, slump disease can prove deadly boring, that is. Infectious pathogens, blah blah, mumbled drone. I'm bored. I'm dead bored. I'm dead. Well, if you're a slump sufferer, cheer up. This book contains medically proven ingredients, such as sick jokes and sickening stories and seriously sick facts, to fight slump disease by boosting your brain power. This treatment is so successful that afterwards you can test your teacher and dumbfound your doctor with your deadly disease discoveries. Read about fiendishly foul phenomena like the nurse who drank diarrhea. Potty nurse. Cheers! Nurse's potty. And the scientist who died of the disease he was studying. Was it the coffin that killed him? Nah, he was dead before they put him in it. And the doctors who killed one another because they argued over a disease. I'll prove you're dead wrong. Over my dead body. Feeling better yet? You will soon. Just keep on reading. But be warned. Warning. Side effects of this book can include snorts of laughter at embarrassing moments and feeling an urge to try revolting experiments. Well, what are you waiting for? The sickening facts. Diseases could wipe out the human race. It sounds sickening, but is it a fact? Well, you can check on your survival chances later on, but now it's time for a story to get your brain juices going. The invasion. The aliens landed on a Saturday at about 7:30 p.m. Alex and his parents were having tea when they arrived. Huge, dark green shapes loomed at the windows, lumbering like bears. There was a crash as an alien vaporized the door with its heat gun. It had two staring eyes like a giant squid and tentacles around its mouth. Arg! Screamed Alex. Blimey! Said his dad. Hello, Vicar! Said his mom, searching for her glasses. Ulla, ulla, ulla! Said the alien, opening its razor-sharp fangs. All three humans turned to run. There was a whooshing sound, followed by a nasty burning smell as one of the aliens microwaved the cat. Within hours, the army had sealed off the area. The roads were clogged with people trying to flee. Everyone was unsure where to go. Everyone was scared. It was worse than the first day at a new school. Don't panic! Shouted the general through a battered army megaphone. We'll stop them! Just then a red haze appeared glowing against the sky. It was a cloud of gas billowing and tumbling like thick smoke. Ahead of the gas, soldiers from an advance patrol came running and stumbling and choking and falling. Gas masks, ordered the general. Sorry, sir, we left them at the base, stammered his sergeant. Then we'll have to make a rapid strategic withdrawal, barked the general. Come again, sir, asked the sergeant. The general swung round, bellowing, That means run, you blithering idiot! Soon the whole country was in an uproar. All the roads were jammed with cars trying to escape the gas that hung in little wisps and unexpectedly seeped under doors. There was no TV because the aliens had knocked out the electricity system, but at least the schools were closed. Alex and his parents found themselves hiding in a sewer. I need some fresh air, gasped Alex as he clambered towards the entrance. This living room needs a good clean, said his mom, who still hadn't found her glasses. You'll need more than fresh air if the gas gets you, warned his dad, but the boy wasn't listening. Alex sniffed the air. It seemed fresh enough. Well, it would after the sewer. So he decided it was safe to look for food and crept cautiously down the road. Suddenly he froze. An alien patrol had appeared around the corner. There was nowhere to hide. Alex closed his eyes and waited to be microwaved. But the aliens ignored him. They stumbled and shuffled past, saying something like, Ulla, Urgle, Gurgle! Thick orange dribble slobbered from their mouths and their tentacles were droopy. Taking courage, Alex followed the aliens into a field where he saw an awesome sight. Several spacecraft were leaning at drunken angles. All around lay aliens, many dead but a few twitching. There was a vile smell like rotting school dinner cabbage. The boy couldn't believe his eyes. The aliens were sick. They were being destroyed. But how and why? Just then an alien sneezed a big glob of purple snot. Alex realized that the aliens had the most appalling, stinking colds. The invaders hadn't been defeated by the army or by anything that humans could do. No, they were beaten by humble, commoner garden germs. Cool story. It was inspired by a novel, War of the Worlds, by H.G. Wells, 1866-1946, in which Devizes halts an alien invasion. bet you never knew that hovering over every 6.4 square centimeter of ground, there are 4,000 microbes looking for somewhere to land, someone to attack. And if you live in a big city, there will be about 400,000 germs hovering over your head. It's enough to make your hair curl. No wonder the aliens never stood a chance. So what about us? Are we going to be wiped out like the aliens? Well, germs certainly give us a tough time. You can be dead sure of that. But before we delve into their murky world, here's a chance to check your existing knowledge. Odd diseases quiz. 1. Which of these animals does not get colds? A. Teachers. B. Ferrets. C. Fish. 1C. If fish got colds, their paper hankies would go soggy. I feel eel. You are an eel. 2. Which of the following animals does not get flu? Pigs, ducks, woodlice. 2C. Ever seen a woodlouse sipping lumsip? In fact, you can catch flu from pigs and even ducks. That's when you need a quack doctor. You can breathe these germs in, or even worse, the germs pass out of the animal's feces, poo into water. If humans drink the water, we fall ill too. Sickening, eh? I feel lousy. You are a woodlouse. 3. Which of the following treatments is useless against germs? A. Feeding a maggot on diseased flesh. B. Smearing a wound with honey. C. Plonking a dollop of bat's poo on a wound. 3C. The poo is crawling with germs. Doctors in Washington, D.C., in the USA, covered an injured girl's germ-infected leg with 1,500 maggots. The maggots ate the germs and diseased flesh but left the healthy bits. Honey is great for killing germs. The sugary stuff dries them out. That's why honey keeps for months in a cupboard after you've opened it. Mind you, if you want to keep your family sweet, don't go smearing their honey on your scabby wounds and then putting the knife back in the pot. Somebody smeared peanut butter in the honey! We haven't got any peanut butter. 4. Where will you never find germs? A. The moon. B. Mars. That's the planet, not the chalky bar. C. A school dinner. 4B. Scientists tested Martian soil for germs in 1977 and found none. School dinners are full of germs, and scientists have even found germs on the moon. In the 1970s, astronauts brought back a piece of an old lunar landing vehicle left on the moon in 1967. Inside the protective casing of the vehicle's camera, the scientists found germs from snot that had gotten to material when it was made. The germs were still alive. It's still alive! It's snot! Oh, yes, it is! 5. Which substance is useless for killing germs? A. Moon dust. B. Custard. C. Toilet cleaner. 5B. Germs happily scoff custard. Toilet cleaner contains bleach, a highly effective germ killer. And scientists in Houston, USA have found that moon dust actually contains chemicals that kill germs. Trouble is, your local chemist probably doesn't sell moon dust, and if they did, it would cost 5 million pounds a gram. A note to the reader. This is a little book about a big subject. There are thousands of different diseases. There are nasty diseases, smelly diseases, and diseases you can't even tell your mom about. Some are caused by poisonous chemicals and others by worms in the guts. To fit them all in a book, you'd need a book the size of a bookcase. So to save space, this book deals only with the deadly diseases caused by the tiny living things. Microbes. Don't worry, it's not caused by microbes. Just worms in your guts. So how are you feeling now? Maybe a bit shivery, or perhaps a bit sick? Perhaps these germs might be doing something nasty to you? Could it be that you've already got one of the deadly diseases we'll be looking at in this book? Shiver, shake, sweat, tremble. We've hired Dr. Grimgrave, the most miserable doctor in the world. He really ought to read a horrible science book to cheer himself up, to tell you the worst. Dr. Grimgrave's Guide to Symptoms. So how are we today? Deadly disease, eh? Well, I'll need to examine you. Do you have any of these symptoms? If you aren't sure, I can arrange a consultation, but not for idiots and time wasters. Being a doctor could be enjoyable if it wasn't for all those whinging, sick people one has to see. Violent cough. Coughing is normal. I encourage my patients to cough into a handkerchief because it's the body's way of removing mucus, snot caused by an infection. A violent cough, fever, and huge lumps under the armpits and black spots on the skin may be a sign of one form of plague. Rapid burial in earth may be the most effective treatment here. Often a lovely green color. Dear reader, we apologize for the poor quality jokes. Dr. Grimgrave is not known for his sense of humor. Deadly diarrhea. Severe diarrhea turns from brown to green and becomes paler when it contains the gut lining. This could be a sign of cholera. If untreated, there is continuous diarrhea until the victim's body dries out. My old colleague, Dr. Twinge, caught cholera, and he nearly died of it. Essential equipment. Pus-filled pustules. Spots are caused by minor infections resulting in a buildup of pus. Violent fever, muscle pains, and spots filled with pus covering most of the upper body were a symptom of smallpox. In severe cases, large chunks of flesh die and fall off the victim's body. Most unhygienic. Sometimes looks like big pox. Ha ha. Dangerous dribbling. Uncontrollable salivation could be a symptom of rabies. Other signs include fear of water and an inability to swallow. By the time the disease reaches this stage, there is no cure. Honestly, what do these patients expect me to do? Heal them? It's a mouth-watering experience. Bright yellow skin. The liver falls and chemicals escape and build up under the skin. Jaundice, we doctors call it. I always think that if the liver is bad, you should try onions. They improve the taste to no end. Ha ha. Jaundice and black vomit are signs of yellow fever. I have a sample of this remarkable regurgitation in my private medical collection. Feel like death and look like a banana. Please note, you're unlikely to have these deadly diseases. Most mild diseases can be treated by taking a painkiller and going to bed and allowing the body to heal itself. That way you don't bother me, your doctor. Now if you'll excuse me, I've got work to do. We'll be getting to grips with the gore and puss later on, but first a question. What actually causes all these deadly diseases? Yep, I'm sorry, but it's time to look at some deadly disease germs, and you can catch them in the next chapter. Gruesome germs. Take a peek down this microscope and you'll see them. We used to live in a lovely warm nose, but a scientist picked us for his research. Not much to look at, maybe, but they're the nastiest and deadliest killers the human race has ever known. Just take a look at their files. World Health Organization. Microbe Crime Files. Brutal bacteria. Appearance. Some group together in chains and some are thin blobs. Others are round or spiral shaped. There's even one that looks like an octopus. It's armed and dangerous. Size. Most bacteria are 0.5 to 1.5 micrometers in size. Up to 10,000 bacteria can stretch across your thumbnail. You better wash your hands afterwards. Horrible places they live. Everywhere. Bacteria particularly like dirty places, like sewers or mounds of poo. Millions live in your guts, where they do no harm except make chemicals that make farts smelly. Human guts? Smelly fart bacterium? Yeah, you can blame it on me. Favorite food. They're not fussy. In fact, they even eat school dinners. They particularly like bits of dead or live body if they can get inside the skin. And many bacteria love human blood with its comforting warmth and delicious gloopy sugar snacks. Luckily for the germs, there isn't too much sugar in blood, unlike honey. Nibble, scoff, live body. Yummy, delicious, dead body. Snice, slurp, blood. Urk, ugh, yuck, school dinner. Nasty habits. Make deadly chemicals called toxins that can stop human nerves working so the person can't move. The toxins kill by stopping the victim's breathing or disrupting their heartbeat. These bacteria are heartless. Brutal behavior. If they're warm and well-fed, bacteria happily increase in numbers by splitting in half. Yeah, they're split personalities. They can do this every 20 minutes, so in just 9 hours, one bacterium, one of these things is a bacterium, two or more bacteria, can produce 100 million copies. Birdie bacterium will now demonstrate. 20 minutes, 2. 40 minutes, 4. 1 hour, and so on and so forth. If they do this inside the body, they make huge slimy lumps that break up the body's vital organs and cause death. Yikes! Terrible TB. By now, you might be wondering what bacterial diseases are lurking in wait for you. The answer is plenty. For example, besides the plague and cholera, there's tuberculosis, or TB. Trust Dr. Grimgrave to break the news gently. Health news. Sick? Tell Dr. Grimgrave about it. Dear Doc, I have a slight fever and I'm coughing blood and loads of snotty phlegm. Sorry about the stains. What's wrong with me? I can't breathe. Dear Mr. Can't Breathe, my hobby happens to be breeding bacteria and judging by the ones I found in the stains on the letter. You have TB. I'm sorry to say that this lung disease is the biggest killer in the world, but a course of drugs called antibiotics should save you. For more information on antibiotics, see page 68. P.S. Don't call me Doc. Your body is trying to clear your lungs of the tuberculosis bacteria. Infected lungs. Mind you, if you think that sounds bad, just wait until you see the next section of the Microbe Crime Files. Microbe Crime Files, Part 2. Vicious viruses. Appearance. Weird looking. Some are like lunar landing craft and others look like anti-ship mines covered in spikes. Size. 17 to 300 nanometers. You could fit a chain of 10 million viruses across your thumbnail. Though you'll need a steady hand and a lot of patience. Anti-ship mine. Deadlier virus. Horrible places they live. Viruses have no proper bodies to protect them from heat or cold, and that's why they live inside cells. No, not police cells, silly. I mean the tiny living blobs of jelly that make up our bodies. Favorite food? Viruses don't eat or breathe. In fact, some scientists reckon they're not even alive. Think of viruses as vampires. Creatures neither dead nor alive that prey on unsuspecting humans. No wonder they're a pain in the neck. Nasty habits. The virus sticks to a cell and hijacks the control system of the cell and forces it to make copies of the virus. When the cell is worn out, it dies and the viruses go in search of another victim. For more details, see page 111. Vicious behavior. Viruses often spread in tiny drops of spit that spray out of the mouth when we cough or sneeze. This danger is not to be sniffed at. Here are some interesting notes that I wrote on my hanky. Snotty, sneezy facts. 1. One sneeze can contain 6 million viruses. Next time a cold makes you sneeze, try counting them. 2. Millions of microscopic snot lumps shoot out of your nose and mouth at over 100 kilometers per hour. If your sneeze was a gust of wind, it would be strong enough to snap twigs off trees. 3. Within seconds, the water in the snot dries out, encasing the germs in hard, dry, snot-like tiny bullets, but too light for anyone to feel. If someone's in the way, some snot might go down their throat or up their nose, and some might go on their hands, and they might then put their fingers in their mouth. And that's how your germs get into someone else. Would you like to borrow my hanky? No thanks. Microbe Crime Files, Part 3. Revolting in-betweenies. No, that isn't their scientific name. These are actually living things that are smaller than bacteria and bigger than viruses. The best known are rickettsia. Appearance. Tiny blobs of colorless jelly. Wibble, wobble, slither, wriggle. Size. 0.5 micrometers across. You could fit 20,000 in a line across your thumbnail. Now, where did you put those viruses? Now you know why Mom says, don't pick your nose. Horrible places they live. Rickettsia live inside insects like ticks and lice. Typhus rickettsia live inside blood-sucking lice that lurk on unwashed bodies. Maybe that's why they spread lousy diseases? The germs emerge in lice poo or eggs, which enter the human body through the skin when it is scratched. Smelly body, smelly louse, smelly poo, rickettsia. Probably smelly. Because the rickettsia are so small, they can hide inside body cells, and this makes them hard to find. Nasty habits. Typhus rickettsia cause the disease typhus fever. Bet you never knew. The posh scientific name for typhus rickettsia is Rickettsia prowazekii. If this germ had friends, they could always call it Ricky. It's named after American scientist Howard T. Ricketts, 1877-1910, who found the germ in 1909, and Stanislaus von Prowazek, 1875-1915, who studied it in 1915. And guess what? Both men caught typhus and died horribly. Well, it looks like that germ discovered them, too. I found it, and Stan studied it. And we're both sick to death of it. R.I.P. H.T. Ricketts, 1877-1910. R.I.P. S.V. Prowazek, 1875-1915. So what is typhus fever? Dr. Groomgrave knows the dreadful details. Health news. Sick? Need advice? Write to Dr. Groomgrave, and if he's not too busy, he might bother to reply to your questions. Dear Dr. Groomgrave, the day before yesterday I had backache. Now I've got a splitting headache, fever, and I think I'm starting with a rash. I can't sleep. Am I going to die? Yours, Vera Sick. Dear Miss Sick, yes, probably. You have typhus and you may die of heart failure caused by germ toxins, but the rash might turn to sores which might rot, and if your fingers and toes are infected, they might drop off. If so, could you spare them for my private medical collection? If you want to get better, I'd recommend antibiotics, which should stop the disease developing. Now, if you'll excuse me, my patients are getting impatient. If you could spare 5 fingers, that would really be giving me a hand. If you can't sleep, try lying on the edge of the bed. You'll soon drop off. Now back to those files. Microbe Crime Files, Part 4. Putrid Protozoa. Appearance, blobs of colorless jelly. Protozoa look a bit like human cells, and that makes them rather hard to spot inside the body. Imagine trying to find a toffee in a chocolate factory. Magnified protozoan. Magnified human cell. Magnified blob of toffee. Size. Most are less than 0.5 millimeters across, so you need at least 20 bigums to stretch across that grubby thumbnail. Get lost, rickettsia. No way, we were here first. Horrible places they live. Often make themselves at home inside other creatures, in places such as guts or blood where they cause disease by making toxins. I feel sick. Think I'm gonna die. How do you know? It's just a gut feeling. Nasty habits. It depends on the disease. Take malaria, for example. This disease is caused by protozoa with as much conscience as a game of piranhas in a goldfish bowl. Deadly disease fact file. Name, malaria. The basic facts, 1, the protozoa are spread by Anopheles, mosquitoes. 2, the protozoa have a complex life story that involves living in a mosquito's stomach and spit-making glands and moving into the blood when the mosquito bites a human. There. 3, there, the protozoa make toxins and guzzle red blood cells, the vital carriers of oxygen to the rest of your body, and this is what causes the malaria. Deadly details, 1. You've got a choice of 4 varieties of malaria, each caused by a different protozoan. too. With all four, you get muscle pains, terrible headaches, violent fever, and ice-cold sweats. And then it gets worse. 3. The first two types cause fever every 38 hours, and with the third type, it's 72 hours. But the fourth is... 4. Really nasty version. Around half the victims die as dead blood cells block blood vessels in the brain. Muscle spasms follow so bad that the victims sometimes bite their tongues in half. Think I've got the fourth type. Malaria menu. Types 1 through 3. Muscle pain, headache, fever, sweats. Type 4. As above, but with a side order of blocked blood vessels and muscle spasms.